Let's come in prayer to our God. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for sending the greatest gift to us that could ever be given in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for willingly coming and dying in our place that we may enjoy peace and covenantal love forever and ever with you, our triune God. O Lord, send the Holy Spirit upon us that we may see the glories of your grace that are given to us and our Lord Jesus. In his precious name we would pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, and we'll begin reading at verse 17 and continue reading through verse 27, but we'll be focusing just on verses 25 through 27. John chapter 19, beginning at verse 17, hear now the word of our God. And he, bearing his cross, went to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier, a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said, among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we celebrate Lord's Supper today, and as is custom, I have a Mother's Day sermon for us. And we come back to a passage that in our rush to get to the relevant parts of the Easter story, we did not have much time to focus on. But since I moved out of my parents' house, for whatever reason, that is, at least I didn't. Maybe you are much more sanctified than me. But growing up and understanding and cherishing my parents didn't really happen until I moved out. But anyways, but since I moved out of my parents' house, this has been a passage that has truly amazed me. Our sinful hearts are incredibly wicked. I'm always appalled at my own heart, that as we looked at this morning, that the people I am supposed to love the most are the people that I often treat the worst. Children, you know this to be true because the way you treat your mother is some way that you would never treat your friends. I know for myself, I look back over my teenage years. I don't remember the three-nager stage so well, so I just remember the teenager stage. But I look back at that time and I talked to my mother many times in a way that I would never have talked to my friends or anyone else outside of my family. My own mother, the woman in my life that at that point that I was supposed to love and care for more than all others. And it makes it all the worse if you, like I did, had a good mother. And I know many of you do. Because here is a caring, nurturing, and compassionate woman that literally gave birth to you and doted over you as a helpless baby who just cried at her and made dirty diapers and still continued to love you and care for you. Just think about how patient your mother is with you compared to your father, for example. Cared for you with patience and compassion when you are sick or hurt. There's a reason that when you are hurt, the little children run to their mothers. She is the compassionate one. She's the one that cares for us through the three-nager stage, made you food, shopped for your clothes, took you to doctor's appointments, swim lessons, school, social functions, etc., etc. And yet as children, how is it that we could treat our mothers, especially if we had a good one, so terribly? With our complaining, our backbiting, and disrespectful words. Over the years, as I have reflected on this, putting a number of passages together, a couple just for example of them are Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 19. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. And Ezekiel 22, verses 6 and 7. Look, the princes of Israel, each one of you has used his power to shed blood in you. In you they have made light of father and mother. In your midst they have oppressed the stranger. In you they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. Notice in Deuteronomy 27, the Lord makes special mention of the Israelites that they are to care for the vulnerable and the weak in society especially. As we see in Ezekiel 22, that is the exact opposite of what happened in Israel as time went on, leading up to the destruction of Israel and the exile of Judah. Tie this in with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you turn there with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know this passage well because it is the one that speaks about the body of Christ being many members. And so if you'd look with me there at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin reading at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12 at verse 18, where we read, But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Notice in this passage, it is that we deem what we deem to be the weaker people that we are to prize as more valuable. You might be asking yourself at this point, okay, Pastor, where are you going with all of this? Well, let's tie these passages together. Our natural, old, dead hearts are so sinful that the people that we are supposed to love the most, we actually try to use whatever power we have to subjugate them to our will and purposes. We take advantage of the very people we are supposed to cherish, love, and help the most. Mothers, who are the weaker vessel in the marriage, meaning that they are the most precious. I've always thought of it in this way, that if you were to compare the husband and the wife to metal, the men would be the iron. They are strong, but not very beautiful to look at. And the women, the wives, are gold. Yes, they are softer, but they are far more precious. Mothers who are the weaker vessel, meaning they are the most precious, yet they are the easiest to take advantage of. We, in our sinfulness, treat them as less precious and try to take advantage of them. Manipulate them through false kindness and abuse in order to get them to serve us the way that we want. You can see it in the smallest child. Why do they throw fits? To try to get their mother to give in to their will. And when they get it, why do they all of a sudden change their tune? Thank you, Mama. Manipulation. The very woman in our life that for so many of us was the one that served us the most and the best, we treat that way. How often did we literally bite the hand that fed us? This is sometimes most prevalent when we are suffering or in pain or stressed or anxious. You know that those are particular moments when you tend to lash out at others, especially those that we are closest to, because we feel like we can get away with it. It's why people have road rage, because they feel safe in their little metal box, and so they think they can get away with it. By making obscene gestures and shouting all kinds of horrific language or honking their horn way too much. Because they feel safe and they feel like they can get away with it, because I'm in my little box and at any moment I could just take off and never see you again. And the problem is in the family, that because the family is a place of love and we know that we love each other, we think that it's safe enough for us to treat each other horribly. We know that they love us, and so we take advantage of that love instead of cherishing it. And that's so true with children toward their mothers. And children, I don't speak down to you about that. I am just as guilty of all the things that you are too. But what so amazes me about this passage in John 19 is here Jesus is in the greatest of all possible pain, suffering hell on the cross for our sins, still in that moment loves and cares for his mother. He was never married, and so the woman that Jesus had the greatest love for, earthly speaking, and responsibility to love for, he does perfectly. He, in compassion, does not think about his own suffering, but about the suffering that she is going through, seeing her son die in such a horrible way, knowing that the prophecy of Simeon came true, which we read of in Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Jesus knew this and cared for his mother, telling John to take care of her, his widowed mother. And I hope that we see the beauty of the glorious gospel here. We who so often fail to love the people that we should love the most, Jesus, in the hour of greatest suffering, loved his mother. In the very moment that Jesus was paying for our sins against our mothers, Jesus was perfectly loving his. Do you see the contrast there? In the moment that Jesus was paying for our sins against our own mothers, he was perfectly loving his. He not only took our sin away and paid the penalty for it, but he also earned for us perfect righteousness in his perfect life from beginning to end. So that when the Father looks upon us now, he does not see all the sin that we committed against our mothers, but he sees the righteousness of Christ in his love for Mary. That is the great exchange of the gospel. This is what you and I are clothed with. There is no more sin and guilt that is attached to us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as we think upon the heinous ways that we have acted toward our own mothers or the words that we have said, it is all gone. Removed from us as far as the east is from the west. In the very moment that Jesus was paying for our sins against our mothers, Jesus perfectly loved his, thereby taking away our sin and shame and giving us his perfect righteousness. if we repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, all our sins against our mothers and all the sins we've ever committed are washed away from us, and we are accounted righteous in the sight of God. However, if we have ever sinned against our mothers, if we are able, we should apologize to them for the way that we treated them too. It's probably a good thing, children, on a day such as today, to say sorry. Or the Canadian way, sorry. But know that we are not forgiven whether they forgive us or not. But having learned about the salvation that Jesus has given us and seeing His perfect love for His mother in action, we must be reminded that we have not only been justified in the sight of God, but we are even now being sanctified to live in the presence of the Lord. God's grace not only saves, but also transforms us. God's love, as it fills us, causes us to experience true love, but it also changes us to love. And so we need to think about the way that we treat our mothers in particular, but also all those who are weak and vulnerable. For the world and our own sinful hearts, everything is about power. You can see it in the world everywhere. I always find it interesting that Karl Marx, in his diary, made a pact with the devil. And then when you look at all of what he came up with, it's all power dynamics. Because that's the way that an evil and sinful heart works. It's all about power. It's not about love or service. And so as we think about how we treat our mothers, we must cast off the world's and our own sinful heart's ideas of trying to gain power through manipulation and all kinds of schemes in order to get our own way. But for our new hearts, patterned after the heart of Christ, everything is supposed to be about love. Love for God and love for each other. I didn't have time to get to this point in the sermon last week with Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me?" But isn't it interesting that the question that Jesus asks Peter three times is, "Do you love me?" It isn't, "Peter, do you believe in me?" It isn't, "Peter, do you place your faith in me?" It isn't, "Peter, do you want to follow me?" It isn't, "Peter, do you regard me as Lord and Savior of your life?" No, "Do you love me?" Because that is the end goal of everything, is to live in loving communion with our God forever and ever. It is no wonder that Paul says, "Now these three abide, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And we need to be intent on loving others, especially our mothers. Some people have big problems with their mothers. Maybe they had mothers that themselves were abusive, and thus the most loving thing they can do is to stay away from them, unfortunately. But that's the exception, not the rule. We need to see the gift that our mothers are to us. We need to see their gentleness, kindness, self-sacrificing love, compassion, tenderness, not as weakness to be exploited through manipulation, but rather to see those things as wonderful gifts of God, and to really cherish them as we see them in our mothers. And fathers, you thought you were going to have to wait till Father's Day to get it, but I won't be here, so you're going to get it now. which will please the mothers, I hope. Fathers, your children need to learn to cherish their mother's kindness. And they can learn that from you. They can learn that from you. If they see that you appreciate your wife's patience and kindness and gentleness, they will pick up on that and learn from that. And so, fathers, you have a role to play here in teaching the children how to love their mother as well. In closing, may it continue to be our prayer that the grace of God in Christ would continue to flow over our families in great abundance, washing away all of our sin and causing us to walk in love and forgiveness with one another and seeking to love each other in the ways that Christ has taught us and empowered us to do by His resurrection life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our mothers and for the gift that they are to us. We thank you, O Lord, for serving us through them. And we pray the blessing upon them, that as they serve and serve so selflessly, that they would never grow weary or tired of such service. But as they are constantly feeding others, may they see that you are constantly feeding them. That as they are giving of themselves to their families, that they would see that you are supplying their every need. Heavenly Father, we pray that in our families, we would never seek satisfaction or meaning or purpose from our families or from the people in them, but rather we would seek those things from you alone and cherish each other properly, understanding each person in their proper place. And we ask, O Lord, a blessing upon the children. O Lord, may they learn from a young age to understand the patience and the kindness and the tenderness of their mothers as a precious thing and a wonderful thing to behold and not something to be exploited. Please forgive us of all of our sins that we have committed against our mothers. Wash us clean in the blood of Christ. And, O Lord, clothe us with His righteousness, as you have promised to do and as you have done. We thank you for these good gifts. And we pray, O Lord, that you would fill our hearts and our mouths with praise every day as we see your goodness and faithfulness all around us, from the promises of your word to the people in our family and to our church and the people in our church family as well. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.